Real love, real love, real love. How important is love to humanity? How important is love to us? How important is love? How much do we think about love? Love, real love, in case we didn't know, it's a big deal. You know, love is essential to human survival. Love is essential to physical health. Love is essential for emotional well-being. Love functions as a foundational need rather than just a luxury. Love reduces stress. Love reduces mortality rates by up to 50%. Love helps mental health. Love provides purpose. Love is critical for growth. Love helps long-term growth and connection. Love increases our immune system. Love increases the longevity of life. Love reduces stress, anxiety, and heart disease. Love boosts self-esteem. Love provides security. Love becomes a shield against bad emotions and feelings. Love is necessary. Turn to your neighbor and say, love is necessary. It's the real deal. Love is important for development in children. Love helps and prevents feelings of isolation and fear. Love is important through supportive connections that run through every part of our being. Love combats so many negative emotions, feelings, and thoughts every single day. If love is important to humanity, which it is, why does there seem to be a shortage of it? Well, I'm glad you asked. Love is a big deal. It's essential to human survival, to physical health, for emotional well-being. Foundational. It's a foundational need in every one of us. Love reduces stress. Love lowers mortality rates by up to 50%. Love helps mental health. Love provides purpose. Love is critical for growth. Love helps long-term growth and connection. It strengthens our immune system, increases longevity in life, reduces stress, anxiety, and heart disease. Love boosts self-esteem, provides security. It's a shield against bad feelings and emotions. Love is necessary for children, their development, preventing feelings of isolation and fear. Love is important. Love is a big deal. And if it's a big deal, why does there seem to be a shortage of real love? Well, the reason is the missing piece, the missing formula, is we're missing the way that God loves. The way that God loves. And it's different, unfortunately, for all of us, for what comes natural. Most of us, we love a little different. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the wind beats against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on the bedrock. Anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey is foolish, like a person who builds their house on sand. When the rains and floods come, the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religious law. And so this morning, as we continue in our theme, Real Love, number one, we understand that love must be built on one simple foundation. God is love. Jesus, describing the verses that we just read, he said, if you listen and follow my word, if you listen and follow my teaching, you're a wise person who builds their house on a rock, so that no matter what comes, your house will continue to stand. So if we were to think about the scripture we just read, we understand that in life, how many of us know love is built on many different things? Love is one of the most important things that we build life on. And if we're going to build love, life on love, we have to build it properly. And if we're going to build it properly, how many of us know, just like building a house, one of the most important things is making sure the foundation is set secure. God is love. Jesus said, listen, if you want to become a strong person, listen and follow. Listen and follow. It's the only way to become a strong person. There are many people, and many of us know people, who give an appearance, an image of being strong. How many of us, we know friends, we know family members, and they seem so confident. Man, and they seem so boastful. They seem so arrogant at times. They seem so strong. And then all of a sudden, a giant storm of life comes. And what happens? They crumble, and they crash to the ground. Why? Because it doesn't really matter what appearance and image we like to portray to the world. What matters is what's built on the inside. What matters is what's built on the inside. If every single time the wind blows, if we freak out, that means that we have no inner strength and foundation in God's word. If every time there's a crisis, if we absolutely lose it and freak out, that means we have no foundation in God's word. The real basic foundation, one of the most important things to make sure, am I building my life on God's word, and am I building my life on his love? Many people, they have the appearance of being strong, but inside they have an inner turmoil. There's war, there's chaos. Many of us have watched probably hundreds of war movies in our life. How many of us have watched hundreds of people fight? How many of us have watched boxing matches? How many of us have watched MMA, right, where people are just brutally beating each other up? You know what the crazy thing is? Many people in humanity, that's how they live on the inside. It's like an MMA fight every single day. They're like, bam, bam. They're getting hit. They're getting knocked over inside. Because they've allowed words. They've allowed life to control and dominate the way they live instead of building our life properly. Sometimes things need to be taken apart. Sometimes things need to be rebuilt. Sometimes things need to be reborn. And so that life can be built right. Life can be built right. And this morning we ask ourselves, have I built my life right? Have I built my life like Jesus said, just by listening and following his word, I will become a strong person. I will become strong. Have I built my life just by doing those two things? Listening and following. Love. Turn to your neighbor and say love. It's just so nice to say that word. Love needs to be built correctly by every one of us so that it's in us and so that it's through us. And everything in life, we know, how many of us know, it starts with a choice. Have we made that choice to say, God, I choose your word. I choose love. I want to hate somebody right now. I want to beat somebody up right now. I want to give them the universal sign for hello and you're number one, but I'm not going to. I choose love. And you know what I love about God and his word? Many of us, we could hear something and it sounds good. Many of us, we can hear something, we say, I'm going to try harder next time. We can hear something, we get a little excited, and yes, I'm going to do better at home, I'm going to do better at work, I'm going to do better as being a Christian. And then all of a sudden, how many of us know, hell breaks loose. And it comes a little test. We make this big boast about trying harder, being better, and then all of a sudden hell breaks loose and we have an opportunity right then. Does God zap us with love, or does he give us the opportunity to show his kind of love? Does God zap us with patience, or does he get us opportunities to learn how to be more patient? And sometimes it's like, God, okay, we've learned that lesson. Please stop sending me through these lessons on how to be more patient. God doesn't zap us with anything. He allows us to live through parts of life so what? So we can learn every part of who he is. And the greatest and the foundation is God is love. 1 John 4:8. Anyone who does not love does not know God. God is love. If we don't love, it says we don't know God then, because God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but he loved us and he sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. God is the source. God is the source. God is the source for love, for life, for happiness. How many promises are in the Word that provide peace, prosperity, healing, kindness, good things, all the things over and over and over and over again? But how many of us, if we were honest, sometimes, no matter how much we know what's in here, we know the truth, when there's an issue, we don't go to the source. We go elsewhere. I don't know why, sometimes as humanity, how many people, the amount of people who would say, I believe in God. But day to day, does daily life reflect that they believe in God? No. How many people, they know all the things that God is and all the things that he wants us to, but sometimes when life is hitting, we just neglect God, who is the source of life. He's the source and the giver of life. God's love is unconditional. God's love is unconditional. It's sacrificial. It's eternal, now and forevermore. Compared to the world's love, which is conditional, which is transactional, and which is based on feelings. God is love. God's love is unconditional, sacrificial. It's eternal. It starts now and goes forevermore. Compared to the world's kind of love, conditional, transactional, based on feelings. The world's love is self-centered. The world's love is temporary. The world's love is based on receiving. What am I getting? The world's kind of love constantly comes and goes. It's here, and then it's gone. It's here, and then it's gone. Romans 5:8. God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Did God come and send his son to die for perfect people? Would any of us, let's think about money for a second, if you were to give out a loan to somebody, would you prefer to give a loan to somebody you know will be able to pay you back? Or do you not care and willing to give a loan to someone who you know won't pay you back? If you compare that to God's love, how does God love? He doesn't care about the payback. He doesn't care. He doesn't care if he doesn't. You have to understand, we have to understand that sometimes in our head, in our way of thinking, if we were all honest, if I'm going to give someone $1,000, I'm hoping to give it to somebody, loan it to somebody who's going to give me that $1,000 back. God died for us while we were broken. God died for us when we were selfish, self-centered people who choose the things of this world, let's be honest, pleasure and sin over him. God died for that, which is opposite to most of us, how we live sometimes and operate our day-to-day life. There's only one kind of love that can save the world, God's love. Love for most of us in here, the natural part, unfortunately, it is the opposite of God's love. Why is there a 48% divorce rate in the world? Because it's based on a human kind of love and not God's kind of love. Why does that rate go higher between second and third marriages? Because it's based on a human kind of love. What am I receiving? What am I getting? Instead of God's kind of love. How do people like me? How do people love me? How are people nice? And how are people, are they kind to me? How are my friends, my family, my coworkers? What am I getting from my family? What am I getting from my friends? What am I getting from my job? Have you ever noticed that constantly it's, what am I getting? What am I getting? What am I pulling? What am I taking? That is, unfortunately, why humanity is stuck. Love is so important. People who love, they live longer. And the kind of love that the Bible describes, it's not a kind of love where I'm waiting for you to be nice to me and then I'll be nice to you back. I'm not waiting for you to give me something before I do something for you. It's God's kind of love. God's kind of love will allow you to live healthier and longer. How many people do we know are taking vitamins and supplements and working out because they want to live longer? They want to be healthier. They want to feel good. You know what happens at the end of the day? They still feel like crap. Why? Because it's not based on God's love. If life is not built on the foundation of God's love, no matter what we do, it won't be right. It won't be right. God died for every one of us when we had our backs turned towards Him. We weren't born, unfortunately, saying, God, I love you. Many people, though, at a young age, gave their life to God. But still, at some point, they had to choose God. And so at that point in choosing God, before then, that means they had their back towards God. God died for us when our backs were all turned towards Him. God's love, it is now and it is forever. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no records of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice. It rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Love is always hopeful. Love endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages, special knowledge will become useless. But there's one thing that lasts forever. It is love. John 3:16, this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. This is the love, this is the source of love. That is an eternal kind of love, which surpasses here and now, because it starts now, but it carries on forever. Love is patient. Love is kind. How many of us know people who fit this kind of love to a T? Being patient and kind, not being jealous, not being boastful, not being proud or rude, not demanding its own way, never being irritable, keeps no records of ever being wrong, never rejoicing with injustice, but only rejoicing when the truth wins. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. This kind of love is the love that God has for us every single day. What's amazing about God, He says, when I forgive you, and I died on the cross to forgive you, I forget every single thing you've ever done. It's gone in my head. The minute you say, God, I'm sorry, all your sins, it's gone. But if we ever hang on to when other people sin against us, what are we doing? We're doing the opposite of God's love. If He forgives and forgets, we should forgive and we should forget as well. Love is eternal. It's different than what we're born with. It's different than what many of us were raised with. God's love is just different. It's different than what we're taught. It's different than how we're raised. Why? Because how many of us, most of us were raised, whether it's through the culture, through our parents, and our parents, most of us at some point realize in life, maybe they weren't perfect. Maybe they made some mistakes. But unfortunately, how many of us learn things from our parents that aren't healthy? They're not good for us. And so that's coming to the Word of God to say, God, help me through your Word. God, help me through your Word to learn the path that I should take, to learn how to be a better person, to learn how to be a better man. God, through your Word, help me to see the road that I'm supposed to take. Every single person is desperate, looking, and searching for the essential part of life, love. And the only way we get it, the only way we understand it, is through God. God's love is sacrificial. 1 John 4:10, this is real love, not that we love God. He loved us. He sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. John 15:13, no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. God demonstrated real love. How? He gave his Son. God demonstrated real love. How? He gave his life. God demonstrated real love. How? He gave 100 billion% of himself to humanity. God gave everything. God gave absolutely everything for every one of us. God sent his Son to be a sacrifice. How many of us are afraid to die? How many of us are afraid with the thought of death and when it's going to happen? And when am I going to go? And what am I going to die of? Is it going to be peacefully in my sleep? Is it going to be in a hospital? Is it going to be in a car crash? How am I going to go? How many of us are scared and fearful to think of that day? God gave himself willingly, knowingly, on a cross where he was tortured, where he was whipped, where he was nailed to a tree, a cross, where he gave his life sacrificially so that we could find life. God's love is sacrificial. But it's not really what we're taught in school. It's really not what we're taught sometimes at home, right? It's really not what we're taught by humanity and social media and friends and the public school system. Unfortunately, sacrificial kind of love is the love every one of us are looking for and wanting in life. It's when a person says, listen, I'm not concerned with myself. I'm only concerned with you right now. How can I help you right now? What can I do to make your life better right now? That is a sacrificial kind of love. When it's, I'm laying myself down for you. For every marriage, for every friendship, for every relationship, this is the healthiest and only kind of love that causes that to thrive. God's love, God is love, but it's a love that's sacrificial, which says, I'm giving my all to you, not expecting anything in return. God's love is true. His love is the truth. John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 8:32, you're going to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Our very first verse that we started with, which was our diving board today into this theme, real love, Jesus said, if you listen and follow, you'll become a strong person. If you listen, and he didn't say, listen, if you turn on the radio, man, if you turn on the TV, he didn't say, notice, he could have said a lot of things we could listen to, but there was only one thing that he was very specific about is listening to my teaching. How do I become better, stronger, healthier? How do I become better, stronger, healthier? There's a lot of things, a lot of information, right? We could find anywhere. How do I become healthier, better, stronger? Jesus said it's only one way. Listen and follow my teaching. God's love is unconditional, but how many of us have been taught to love conditionally, like a transaction? Love shouldn't be based on feelings. It's about giving the truth and sacrificing for love, for marriage, for family, for friends. Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is alive. It's powerful, sharper than the two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It expresses our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before God's eyes. He is the one whom we are accountable. 2 Timothy 4:1, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God, Jesus Christ, who will someday judge the living and the dead, when he comes to set up his kingdom, preach the word, be prepared, whether at times favorable or not, patiently correct, rebuke, encourage people with good teaching, for time's coming when people no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. People don't want to hear the truth, because they want to follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They reject the truth and they'd rather chase a myth. You know, there's many Christians in our world and there's many non-Christians in our world. And there's a lot of non-Christians who actually share biblical principles without giving credit to the Bible. If you were to think of men and women who share good things, there's men that are motivating, right? There's ladies who are motivating, who you listen to them, and whatever it is that they're selling, man, it's motivating, it sounds good, it sounds right, but then they give no glory to God. Biblical truths and principles that they are speaking, but they're not taking and giving that credit to God. Who are they giving their credit to? Themselves. The Bible is a large book. The Bible is a large, large book, and it is a roadmap for the success of life here and now. So I ask, if we listen to people who are sharing a truth but don't give credit to God, who's taking the credit? Themselves. There are truths. Truth is everywhere, right? But there's only one truth and one place where real credit belongs. It's through God. Jesus is the truth. Jesus sets us free. Jesus helps us heal us from the inside out. Don't tell me what sounds good. I don't need to hear what sounds good. I don't need to hear what's going to make me feel good. We need the truth. Truth corrects us. This is what divides the world sometimes. Sometimes that world's love, it's not based on an unconditional, sacrificial kind of love. It's not based on being accountable. The world's love is opposite. God's love is sacrificial. God's love is serving. John 13:1. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper. The devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. He got up from the table. He took off his robe. He wrapped a towel around his waist. He poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that he had around him. No one in that room wanted to step in and to meet a need. If we have a friend who comes to us and says, I need to borrow $5,000. Most of us in here would not give someone $5,000 unless we knew they're going to pay us back. In this last text I read right here, Jesus, the disciples are in a room. There was no servant. There was no slave who was there to wash their hands and feet. Jesus, before they eat, this is a big deal. You wash your hands and your feet before you eat. So you're clean. They considered if your hands were clean and your feet were clean, before you eat, you're clean. And so as they're about to eat, Jesus noticed no one in that room wanted to step up and to meet a need. Why did they not want to meet that need? That need was beneath every one of them. That need, if they were to do that, it would make them look stupid and foolish. If they were to meet the need that was needed at that moment, it would require them to humble themselves. If they were to meet that need, they would be calling themselves a slave or servant, because that's who did the job of washing hands and feet. So who steps in to meet that need? Jesus. God is love. God is true. God is sacrificial. And God is serving. God is a servant. And to me, that's one of the biggest things that blows my head. Crazy. Because it's not a natural thing that comes to every one of us. If we were God who had all power and authority in the world, just like many of the rulers that are around the world today, are they out there serving the people? Are they expecting the people that they rule over to serve them? That's our natural tendencies in our human nature. You're here to serve me. You're here to serve me. God showed us in this text his love. It's sacrificial, and he is a servant. Jesus said, I didn't come so that you would serve me. This is God. I didn't come so that you would serve me. I came to serve you. And in this text, the Last Supper, he steps up and meets his need, this need that was needed so they all could be clean. They could eat with clean hands. They could be refreshed. Jesus, God himself, calling himself, I'm willing to be a slave for you. I'm willing to be a servant for you. I'm willing to humble myself for you so that I can meet your need. How many of us, this is God's love, one of the greatest things that defines, if you were to just to take these two things, God being sacrificial, God being a servant, if we treated every marriage, if we treated every friendship and relationship with those two things, being sacrificial and a servant, if every single person in humanity said, I'm here to serve you, I'm here to sacrifice for you, what would happen? The world would change drastically. The world would change drastically if we just did these two things that God did for us. I'm here to serve you. How many of us want friendships that thrive? How many of us want marriages to thrive? How many of us want every relationship we have to thrive? It only happens one way. It's not in just regular books. It's not in the TV shows. It's not in some of the songs that we listen to. There's only one way to see relationships, marriages, and friendships thrive. It's through God's way. It's through God's plan. It's through the ways of God. Real love. And so this morning, real love. God is love. God laid down his life. God sets us free. God heals us. God's love is the foundation of life. God's love starts with listening. Listening. And then being able to follow. Mark 12:28. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there, listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well. So he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God. He's the one and only Lord. The Lord our God is the one and only Lord. No offense, but that verse right there says there's no other true religion. There's only one God. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. The second, it's equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. John 15:12. It's my commandment, love each other in the same way I've loved you. How did God love us? Sacrificially and through being a servant. Jesus said, my commandment, my rule book, this is my commandment. This is what's really important to me. Love each other the same way I loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down your life for one's friends. John 13:33. Dear children, I'm only going to be with you a little longer. As I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for me, but you can't come where I'm going. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I've loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another proves to the world you are my disciples. The very beginning, I read through a number of things. I'm saying what love and why it's important. It's essential for human growth. It's essential for mental health. It's essential for the longevity of life. Love is important and essential for almost every part of life. But no matter, we all know, I think we all in here know love is important. And we know people who probably know love is important. But if we were honest, why does it not seem to be the way that it's described? If it's so important, why does it not seem to be working in a lot of people? Because real love, for most, they're trying to be the source of real love instead of coming to the only one source for real love. We can't give real love unless we're connected to the source of real love. We can't. It's not possible. We can't give real love unless we're connected to the source of real love. God is the source. And so this morning, I want to visual aid here, and I've got one last verse, possibly, maybe two, but 1 Samuel 8:4 says this, "Finally, all the elders of Israel, they met at Ramah to discuss the matter with Samuel." Look, they told him, "You're now old." How many of us like being told that? "Look, you're now old. Your sons, they're not like you. Give us a king to judge us like all the other nations. Give us a king to judge and rule over us just like the other nations have." Samuel was displeased with the request, and he went to the Lord for guidance. "Do everything they say to you," the Lord replied, "for they're rejecting me, and they're not rejecting you. They don't want me to be their king any longer. Ever since I brought them from Egypt, they have continually abandoned me and followed other gods, and now they're giving you the same treatment. Do as they ask." But Solomon warned them about the way a king will reign over them. Jewish people were picked and selected for a special relationship. They were picked to be a people who would be a direct reflection of God to the world. They were not meant to have a man-made leader. They were not meant to have a man who led them. They were meant to be led by God alone. Yes, God used prophets. Yes, God used godly people. But he was their God to lead and guide and direct them every single day. The Jewish people, here in this text, it says that they asked for a king because they wanted to have a king like what? Everybody else had. They were tired of having God as their king because you couldn't see God. Even though God delivered them from Egypt, even though God let them walk through the Red Sea on dry ground, even though they won hundreds of battles, even though they saw miracle after miracle after miracle, they were tired of having God as their king because they what? They wanted to be like everybody else. They wanted to be like everybody else. We want a king. That town over there has a king. That nation over there has a king. We want to be like everybody else. Believers, non-believers, there's one aspect of life. Love, real love, that every person, whether you're a believer, an unbeliever, who lives defining what love is, whether we realize it or not, you know, we all were born and created to change the world. And some people would say, "Well, I don't want to change the world." If you say you don't want to change the world, guess what? You already are changing the world. Whether we like it or not, whether we like it or not, humanity, as people, we are designed, every one of us, we do change our world. And either we change it and make it a better place by following this roadmap, or we change it by following a different roadmap. This morning, thanks to my kids, I got 3 glasses. I've got 1 nice cup of dirt right here. Got 2 Crystal Geyser water bottles, which I'm going to open up. See, all of us, unfortunately, and fortunately, we're all born the same way. Yes, we had different mom and dads. We all can't be brothers and sisters. Now, believers believe, you accept God in your heart, well, brothers and sisters in Christ, right? But anyway, no matter who we are, what we are, what's our last name, we're all born equally. We're all born and given the opportunity for life. And in that life, see, God, he's not an authoritarian who's smacking the word over our heads and beating us with, you need to do this and you need to do that. There's a lot of Christians who beat other people with the word of God. God doesn't do that. God's a gentleman. God's a gentleman. He's kind. He's gentle. And sometimes because he's so gentle, sometimes people, they run away because God's not forceful enough. God's way too gentle. He's way too kind. And unfortunately, what happens, every one of us being born equal, being born the same, all given the same chance at life, some of us, for whatever reason, we decide, you know what? I don't like being shiny and clear. I don't like being like that. I'd rather be messy. This sounds good. And it's kind of like, anybody thirsty? It's kind of like the Jewish people, they were tired of God. And what were they tired of God? They were tired of God acting as their king because they could not see him. Like other nations had a king, a man who they worshiped as their king, who ruled over them. I'm the one in charge. Bow down to me. I'm the king. They were tired of not being like everybody else. So what do? They started to fill themselves with dirt. And you know what's so funny about us as humanity? When we fill ourselves with dirt, after we get dirty, we look around and we say, well, how did this happen? How did this happen? How did I get so dirty? Why is life so messy? Why is it that we're having so much fun sometimes filling ourselves with filth and dirt and junk and french fries that are killing our bodies? And then afterwards, which I love french fries to death, but afterwards we go, man, why am I a mess? Why am I so messy? Why am I so dirty? Love is the exact same way. So many of us, we want love. We want to be loving. We want to be kind. We want to be a source of love. We want to be a source of kindness. But if we're not loving God's way, if we're not loving God's way through God's word to anybody else, this is what we're giving people. If God's word does not come out of our mouth, we can be as nice as we want to be. We can be as kind as we want to be. We can try to be as loving as we want to be. But if it's not God's word, the truth from God's word, it doesn't matter how nice you think you're being, you're giving out dirt. Yes, we're made from the dirt. Men, hallelujah, God said he pulled us from the dust of the ground. Ladies, you're lucky you were pulled out and made from a rib, right? But if you were genuinely thirsty, which one would you prefer to have? Pure, clean, fresh water, or dirty water? If a friend comes to you in need and they're desperate and you're just being nice, you're just being encouraging. You're not saying anything about God, not saying anything about sin, not saying anything about the horrible past. You're not giving them this. If you're just being a friend, you're not giving them that. You're giving them this. God is the only source of help. God is the only source of healing. God is the only source of love. And if God and his word does not come out, I don't know if we realize we're not truly helping anybody. We're actually just giving them dirt. We're just giving them dirt. So then the next time they hit another wall, the next time they get in a mess again, they're just going to look around and say, hey, why is my life so messy? Because you helped fill dirt in their life. You gave them a little bit more dirt because you didn't give them the truth. The truth is what sets us free. What is love? What is real love? We all know it's important. But if it's not based on God's love, then we will never, ever experience what love really is. God's love, He serves. God's love, He sacrifices. God is love. God is true. And it has to be the foundation for our life. Because if we say, I don't want to change the world, but we are. Every one of us. Doesn't matter if you're on the stage. Doesn't matter if you're on the floor. You're changing the world. Because as soon as we leave here, through every week, how many interactions do we have? There could be few, there could be many. And either we're changing the world like this, you need a little more dirt on you. I'm going to take this mud and I'm going to splash on your face. It looks a little better when your face is messy. We don't realize it sometimes. That's what we're doing to humanity. God made you to be pure. God made you to be a light. God made you to be the salt of the earth. And the only way that we can make the biggest and greatest impact in life is by choosing God's word. If we were to think about Jesus, and we are going to wrap up here in a minute, I promise. If you look at his life and he said to people, you know, love those who persecute you. Pray for those who hate you. If someone hits you on one cheek, turn to the other. If you think about the words that he said, listen, stop loving people who only are loving you. Stop being nice to only the people who are being nice to you. If you look at the life of Jesus, he allowed men to beat him 39 times with a whip, the Romans. He carried a cross up a hill. He had help because he couldn't do it alone anymore. He was out of power and strength and health. He allowed them to be nailed to a cross. And I say allow because this was God. At any moment, he could have said, enough. I'm done. Forget it. Who cares about humanity? No, but Jesus, he carried through every part of the way so that he can show us this is real love. And if people look at the story from creation until the end of time, if you look at what God did for us, if you look how God created us, how God put us together, how every one of us, everything that we do, what we don't realize, it is meant, everything in us meant to lead us back to Him. Everything in life, every part of our DNA, every part of our blood, every part of our human actions, it is leading us back to the cross. It's just not, most people don't want to admit that that's where we're being led. You know, in life, there's so many things and influences, and there's so much dirt that you can buy dirt. So many things that you can do that are dirty. People tell us, parents tell us, this is who you are, this is what you do. This is how you're raised. This is what you're going to be. This is the person you need to become. This is how you treat people. And how many of those things are opposite, complete opposite of God's word? And then we wonder one day, why is life so messy? There's only one way. It's God's way. We're all born with a capacity for love, but not everybody experiences it. We're all born to have a certain capacity. What we allow to be filled, dumped into our life. Every one of us are given the opportunity. God is not forceful. He's not one of those authoritative types that is whipping us and being rude and yelling and screaming and getting angry. God is love. And His love, Jesus, some people would call Him a wimp. Jesus probably was called a nice guy. He was also called a drunkard. He was friends of sinners and tax collectors. But who has changed the world more than anyone? Jesus Christ. So who cares if he was called a wimp? Who cared if he was too kind and loving? He changed the entire world. We have to be careful to not let what the world thinks of us, to not let what other people think about us. We all can get caught up in our heads and thoughts. We all can get caught up in, these are my needs. These are my needs. It's what I want. It's what I want. It's what I need. This is what I want. It's what I need. But there's a right way and there's a wrong way. See, you know what the crazy thing is with the laws and principles of God? The Bible says if you give, what? It comes back to you. If you serve, guess what? Blessings are going to follow. If you give sacrificially, if you live sacrificially for other people, what's going to happen? Blessings, healing, prosperity are going to follow. Remember, if we get caught up in ourselves, this is what I need, this is what I want, and I got to have it. You're never going to get it. But if you live through God's word and his principles, God will give you everything that you need and want, and then beyond. We have to stop focusing on my way. God, and to be focused on your way. You know, the choice every day, it's really simple. I'm born to change the world. And either I'm going to with dirt, or I'm going to change the world with the purity of God's love. And that choice is mine. God gives it to me. Doesn't mean I'm going to be great or perfect at it, because I fall many times. But all of us fall at this because we choose ourselves and to be selfish over choosing someone else. Jesus said the greatest love is you lay your life down. That's not how I was raised. That's not how my dad or mom taught me. But that's not my culture. It's not who I am. Well, we can keep using that excuse all day long. It's never gonna change. We want to change, whether we realize it or not. You're born to change the world. And realize you have every interaction we have with humanity, every human being. We're giving them this, or we're giving them this. Every single person you come into contact with. We don't. Sometimes it's, well, I only got a little dirt. I only let a little dirt in me. I'm only a little dirty. I took a bath last week. I'm only a little dirty. I only got a little bit of, just a little sin. Just a little bit of this that I like to do over here. Just a little bit of this. Just a little bit. No matter the depth, no matter how much dirt, it doesn't matter. If you were to give someone a drink of this water, sure, they would probably want to take a drink of the one that has less dirt. But it's still disgusting. If we're not giving truth, sacrifice, servanthood like God, if we're not laying our life down, if we're not connected to the source, we'll never be able to taste real love, and we're never going to be able to give real love. We are changing the world this morning. That's good news. We are. All of us in here. Man, we're changing the world. We're changing it. Just how are we changing? What are we doing? Our words, our verbiage, our tone, our attitude, the way we present ourselves, it changes your world. Our tone, our attitude, the words, the verbiage, and the action, it's changing our world. So we close with this. Matthew 7:24. Jesus said, anyone who listens to my teaching, follow it, it is wise. Like a person who builds their house on the rock. Though the rain comes and torrents and the floodwaters rise and the wind beats against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on the rock. But anyone who hears my teaching doesn't obey it, they're foolish. Like a person who builds their house on the sand. When the rains and floods come, the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Jesus had finished saying these things. The real crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught with real authority. Real love. It's not just being in a marriage. It's not just being with a friend. It's not just having a nice friendship, relationship. Real love. It's what the world was built on. Because it's God's love to humanity. And it's what he's asking us to to do the same. What's the greatest commandment? Love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and love the world the way that He loved us. If we want real love, if we want to give real love, we have to stay connected to the source. Have you ever found yourself saying, let's just not go to church today? Have you ever found yourself saying, I don't want to listen to the message this week? Have you ever found yourself saying, man, I just don't feel like even listening to Christian music right now. I'd rather just do this. And then the funny thing is, without realizing it, we allowed a little dirt in. And then a few days later, we're asking ourselves, why am I so dirty? What happened? What changed? It's because, without realizing it, it's so easy to let dirt come into our life. It's so easy. You know, as a Christian, that's why I've always said, I'm fully against, really against, ungodly music. There's Christian music and there's non-Christian music. If you think about it, secular music, it's what it's called compared to Christian music. Secular music, what does it do? Well, one, it either reminds you of the past or someone in the past. Does God want you to dwell in the past? No. So if we're listening to music that reminds you of your past or someone in the past, does God want you to do that? No. Most of secular music, they're not singing and worshiping God. Who are they singing and worshiping? Humanity and humanity's needs. If we listen to music all the time that says, this is what you need, this is what you want, this is who you are, what is it doing? It's filling you with dirt. And then slowly but surely, you kind of just slowly walk away from God. Be careful. We all are born with capacity. It's my title today, The Capacity. We're all born with capacity to be able to be consumed and be held with something. Be careful what it is that you're filling yourself with. God, we come to you today. We thank you for a beautiful day.